Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about how to 3x your retirement income with some simple changes. Now, this comes from a bit of a case study. I was speaking to a 72-year-old who lives in Auckland.
What, down at the bingo?
I wish I was cool enough to get invited down to the bingo. Now, he owns a 2-bedroom investment property in Auckland. It's gone up in value by a lot over the last 12 years that he's owned it, but it's got a terrible rental return. And so he's 72 years old and he's thinking, should I sell it or should I not? And if I do sell it, what can I do to get a better return? And stick with us because the returns he could get if he sells are going to be substantially better than what he's got. So Andrew, what are the details of this property?
So he purchased in 2012 and he's ridden the last property cycle, now worth over $1 million. But the problem is the rental yield is terrible. And this often happens if people have owned a property for a long period of time. Now the gross yield is 3%. It's renting out at $590 a week. So he's got $30,000 a year that comes in for rent before expenses. Now he's got no mortgage, but he's still got costs of rates, insurance, maintenance of $18,000 a year. So he receives $12,000 after tax. Now, one thing he did mention is because it's an older property now, one year he only made between $6,000 and $7,000 because he had to put a new hot water cylinder and a new stove and had to install a heat pump. So all of a sudden you have these big expenses because your property's getting a bit more tired or Healthy Homes has come in, something's happened, and now you've got so little money dropping out the bottom that you kind of wonder, well, is it worth it? And he actually said, when you're getting good capital gains, it's great. But when you're not and you're paying tax, rates, insurance, and you're only left with $12,000 in the hand, it's not really worth it.
And it's funny, you know, you might say, oh, $12,000 is pretty good. Well, not on $1 million asset, right? So if you're getting 12 grand a year after tax on your $1 million you've got invested, that is a 1.2% return. And so 12 grand extra for some retirees would be awesome, but a 1.2% return on a $1 million asset is just not very good at all. So he's right to think, well, I've got this $1 million property, I'm managing it myself, and I'm only getting 12 grand.
And so, of course, now he's thinking, well, I don't need to sell now. So should I hold and wait for property prices to go up, or should I sell now and get something with a better return?
Okay, so let's walk through a couple of scenarios. What happens if he decides to sell?
Okay, so say he sells, and he sells for $1.02 million. And remember, we deduct 5% for sales costs by the time you factor in an agent and legal fees, etc. He's going to come away with $969,000 in his hand. Now, the question is, could he make more than a net $12,000 with that money? Now, let's say he just went and put that money in the bank. So a straightforward term deposit, banks are offering 6% right now. That's $60,000 gross per annum. But he does still have to pay tax on that. So he's still getting super, he's still working part-time. Let's say his average tax rate works out to be 33%, which is probably a bit on the high side. That means he walks away with $39,000 after tax per annum, which is 3.2 times more than the current $12,000 he gets. So it's a way better return. Yeah, sure, he doesn't have any capital growth now, but also he's got no risk of tenants not paying. He's got no unexpected expenses. It's pretty fixed in terms of the return.
Now, I think what's important there to think about is, well, is it better having the $12,000 a year in cash or is it better to have the $39,000 a year in cash? Now, a couple of things there as well. Interest rates might start to come down. And so the return over time on a term deposit returns might be pretty good today, but over time they're likely to come down. So maybe it might be the decision in the first couple of years, but maybe not later on. But it's amazing that he's got a 3x his income just by using a term deposit.
And again, going back to that point about missing out on the capital growth, one other thing you could do is you could invest in term deposits right now while interest rates are high and then switch to property later on as they come down. That way you still get the benefit of the capital growth, but you really probably need to talk to a financial advisor about this.
Yeah, but the other issue there, Andrew, that you're not considering is that if interest rates go down, property prices are probably going to go up and then he might spend more on that property.
Yep, that's true. But of course, there's plenty of properties you can buy for about $1 million. So give me some details of his personal situation. Does he have a partner and does he have kids?
Now, that's a great question to ask because if he has a partner and kids that he wants to take care of them, that's where capital growth would become really important because you're trying to preserve this money for your partner and for your kids. Now, in his case, he doesn't have a wife and he isn't concerned about spending his kids' inheritance. So he's saying, hey, look, I could spend all of the money from this investment property, sell it, spend all of the money, and I've still got my main home to leave to my kids. So I'm really not worried too much about that.
And so in that case, maybe you just want to cash in the property, put the money in a managed fund and spend some each year. So I remember we did a podcast not so long ago about the rule of thumb for retirement spending. And in this case, probably the rule of 6% would be a good one for him to use. And that's where you spend 6% of your $969,000 every year. Now, that doesn't change. It always is 6% of that original amount. So it's $58,000 a year. Remember that inflation is going to erode the purchasing power of that $58,000 that you're spending. But he's 72. So there's a good chance that if you did that, your money would last till you're about 100.
Yeah, and the important thing to think about is, let's say he spends $58,000 a year every single year, just eroding that principle down. I mean, 58 grand is a lot of money. If you think about that, he's getting the super as well, and that he's working part-time, that would probably give him the confidence to say, actually, bugger this, if I don't want to work, I'm not going to work anymore. I'm going to take my super, I'm going to take my 58 grand a year, I'm just going to go and live my life. And remember, as people get older and older, they tend to spend less and less, because while you're 72, you can probably still get up and about and go travelling a bit. By the time you're 92, that might not be as possible here. And when Andrew's saying, do you know what, statistically, there is a good chance that if you did this, your money would last to about 100. There is only about a 3% chance that you personally will live to 100 anyway. That's according to StatsNZ. So the chance of a 72-year-old male, you know, so born in roughly 1951, the chance that you live to 100 is about 3%. Now, it's different for each person. The chance that I live to 100 is a bit higher than that because I'm a bit younger. People tend to live longer over time. Andrew's a bit older than me, so as we talked about one podcast, he's not going to live quite as long as me. But Andrew, one thing he did mention is that he's worried that if he sells now, that property prices will go up and that he'll miss out on some sort of capital gain. What's your kind of view on that?
I just think he should not be focusing on that. He's 72 years old. Now's the time that he should be enjoying his life. And so to do that, you really do need cash flow coming in. And you mentioned when you spoke to Ed, you're sick of managing the property yourself, you're sick of tenants, and you know having these unexpected bills just means that you're pretty uncertain about what you can and can't spend. And I kind of think you need to ask yourself, what did you actually start investing for? The property's doubled in value. Now you've got the ability to probably live a very comfortable life for the rest of your life. I'd start living it.
And the thing is, you can't take your wallet with you in the end. If you die, you know, the money stays in your wallet with your kids who you don't care about anyway. Well, you care about, but you're not caring about giving them this. And what I'd probably say when I was thinking about this is like, just don't waste the next 3 years of the time you've got left worrying about this investment making you an extra, call it 200K from the property going up in value from capital growth. I'd say, you know, don't look back. Don't ask what if happens. Like, you've only got 1 or 2 decades left. You might as well enjoy it because time for you right now is much more important than money. And usually on the show, we say, hold, keep holding forever. Just hold. But this is where it's actually a bit situation dependent. In this case, not that this is personalized financial advice because, you know, we haven't actually met you, we haven't created a formal plan. But generally speaking, in this situation, I'd say sell the property, quit the job if you want to, like really start enjoying life.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing is, property investment is obviously long-term, but I think, you know, this kind of shows for some investors, it can be the right decision to sell. And if you want to actually dig into some of these numbers, you know, if you're actually listening to this, you know, you can come in and talk to one of our financial advisors who can model out some of these scenarios for you. Because the other option that I've been thinking about is, you know, what if you just bought a high-yielding property? You know, you could probably rent it out at 6%. Maybe you wouldn't spend quite as much. Maybe you could get $26,000 in the hand. So more than double what you're currently getting if you bought a higher yielding property, and you'd get some capital growth. But again, you're not going to be getting as much money if you just decide to spend everything. And I kind of think, well, if your mindset is you can't take your wallet, maybe don't buy another investment property. And I know that's probably quite surprising for some people, given that this is a property investment show, but you've got the benefit of property investment. It's time to start enjoying the gains. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, I want you to come along to our upcoming webinar. It is on the 16th of April. It's a Tuesday at 7 p.m. And we're talking all about the new taxes. So there are some taxes that are getting taken away, like interest deductibility. There are some taxes that are coming in, like the new Airbnb taxes. If you want to learn all about these, come along. The link's out of the show notes, or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Tim McKnight.
I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back here tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.